if we have an open hand and say, God, whatever you've given me, we offer back to you, he'll take the strangest thing in your history and your experience, and he's going to use that to be very useful in his kingdom.
Hello, friend. We're glad you're here today to join us on Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, it may take someone just like you, with the unique skills and abilities God gave you to do your part in the Great Commission. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead, to tell you more.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you, friends, for joining us. Ron, you ask some tough questions sometimes, and this one, it probably more difficult than what you realize. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, I don't know if I have the answer, but I think I have an answer. I had an old missionary friend that used to tell me, to be in missions, to work in ministry, you need to be FAT. Yes, FAT. Don't worry, friends, it's an acronym. Flexible, available, and teachable. What a great way to approach serving God. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be an expert, but you have to be there available to be used by God. You got to be teachable because, hey, I just got back from Tanzania from a Bible and radio training conference. We had 51 different radio people and another 40 pastors representing 15 radio stations. We spent about a week there. Galcom USA director Tom Blackstone, myself, and some others training our broadcast partners. Training. You have to be teachable. These are people that have been doing the work. But everything went sideways on us. We had flight delays and everything, so you have to be flexible. So flexible, available, teachable is what you need to be a missionary today. And to that end, about being teachable, we have Mike Scott from Prairie College, Three Hills, Alberta, the legendary missionary school. Last month, I was out there for their Global Connections Conference, meeting with other agencies, meeting a lot of students, talking about working in missions. It was a great time. And Mike is going to share with us what he does with World Team, splitting his time between full-time missions, and then at the college advocating for missions, getting kids to say yes to going overseas, cross-cultural, vocational, missionary work. And friends, that's what the Mission Compass is all about. Finding a place for you, pointing you in the direction of serving God somewhere, somehow in missions. And part of that is being teachable, getting out and getting the education that you need. So, great conversation with Mike coming up. Of course, Bonnie Sela from Guidelines join us as she normally does with her devotional. And we had some testimonies today from her as well. So all sorts of great things here on the Mission Compass program. Just got to be FAT, flexible, available, teachable. And then that's what you need. Ron, is that a good answer? Anyways, over to Bonnie now with our Guidelines Reset devotional.
What is character? Some people might call it the real you. I'm Bonnie Sela with Reset. Jack used to think he was a pretty great guy, patient, understanding, and helpful. Then he got married. Marriage tends to quickly show people the places where we're selfish. Suddenly, all our space is shared, our resources are divided, and our privacy is limited. Our way of doing things has been disrupted by another person's ways. This is the moment when we really see what our characters consist of. Character is revealed by conflict. Your reputation is what the world sees, but your character is what your spouse sees. One writer put it this way, "Many a man's reputation would not know his character if they met on the street." Behind closed doors, facing pressure most people will never know about, that's where you see your character as it truly is. What is character? Character is who you are when your values come with a price. Are you patient when it's difficult? Are you kind when it inconveniences you? Are you honest when it costs you? God tells us that forming our character is so valuable that we can rejoice when hardships come to shape us into people of integrity and endurance. In these hardships, we learn to walk with God, letting His Spirit develop in us good fruit. The Bible's book of Galatians says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We learn how to bear these good fruits through hardships big and small. If you stop to think about it, can you see today's opportunities for growth in your character? I'm Bonnie Sela with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for bringing us the Reset Devotional once again. We use it every morning here as a staff at Galcom. Friends, we encourage you to go to the Guidelines website that Bonnie just mentioned there, guidelines.org, to subscribe so you get it every day, whether it's the Guidelines or the Reset. But Bonnie, you're doing this ministry, not just in English, but around the world in, what are we at, 25, 30 languages now?
26 languages, that's right.
All right, 26. You got a story from somewhere else that people listening to Guidelines?
I do. I have a couple of stories today from the country of Kyrgyzstan. This is from a man who's 39 years old. His name is Mirza, and he writes, "My wife is 35 and got pregnant with our third child. Due to economic challenges, we were considering abortion. However, after listening to your broadcast, we have changed our minds. Your discussion about abortion was very convincing. We are most happy to have listened to you. Now we are looking forward to the new little life given by the Almighty. And we don't have to be rich to have a happy family. God will provide daily bread for us. Thank God for health and the ability to work and make a living. Keep up the good broadcast."
You guys don't shy away from heavy topics.
Well, you know, God's word applies to every area of our life.
Wonderful. You said you had a couple of these.
I do. So I'm sure that our listeners, I'm imagining they do not know about this particular practice in the country of Kyrgyzstan of bride kidnapping. So it's very common. This sounds romantic, but it's not. It's very common for a woman to actually be kidnapped and forced into marriage in this country. And so here is a woman, a 32-year-old woman who writes telling about just what happened to her. She says, "After school, I went to the big city to study. As many girls here, I was kidnapped into marriage and was taken to another city far away. I simply was not able to run away. I ended up to be married. Even after some years, I simply could not fall in love with my husband. His family is really mean to me. We now have three children, and I keep living with an arrogant man. I feel that I am his slave and having to raise our children. I have been contemplating divorce, but what will happen to my children? Please help me." And we know that these programs do help. Here's another story of a woman from Kyrgyzstan named Nargiza. She says, "Like the stories of many listeners in your broadcast, I too live in an abusive relationship. All the promises of a happy life are gone. We are fighting all the time. I am tempted to run away to my mother in my home city, simply cry my heart out and forget the nightmare once and for all. But then, looking around, I see many, if not most, women struggling with similar matters. Please keep on challenging our men to grow up, accept responsibilities. Your broadcast is like a light in a dark place for many of us."
Wow. I'm so glad you are bringing that light. Those are some pretty heavy issues. You know, you said bride kidnapping. We got a dysfunctional and abusive marriage. We got abortion. And the Bible addresses them all, and you guys are bringing hope and light, as she says. So let's be praying that that light continues to shine in Kyrgyzstan.
You know, Tim, we've also heard from a man from the country of Kyrgyzstan. His name is Ibrahim. He says, "I grew up in a family where money was plenty. I became a spoiled and arrogant man. I lived irresponsibly through my youth. I got married. However, my arrogance and alcohol problems destroyed my family. Then I married a much younger girl in order to train her in becoming an obedient wife for me. I turned to Islam in doing so. Of course, emphasizing only those parts in Islam that were of personal advantage to me. Well, it does not work. My wife is depressed, no real life within her. Listening to your broadcast, I realize what an awful man I am. Is there still hope for me?" And the beautiful thing about this story and the others that we've shared is that As these men and women continue to listen, they will hear day after day after day about the hope that there is in Jesus. And as they hear about that hope over and over, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their minds and hearts and to release them from the bondage of the lies that they have lived their entire lives in. And so we know that they are coming to hope in Jesus, and we know that God's word will not return void in their lives.
Amen. That's exactly what I was going to say. All that heavy stuff we talked about, there is hope. God's word is working. God bless you, Bonnie.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Stories can give us the assurance of finding the Lord's will for our life. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
We had a woman who wrote in considering marriage. and she was seeing someone who was probably not a good person to be dating. She came to Christ as she was listening to the station, and she heard people talking about how important it is to grow in Christ, and how that means if you choose to get married, you need to find someone who also is a follower of Christ. She actually broke off a relationship that she was in order that she could wait for God to provide the right husband. And the Lord had provided her a Christian man to marry, and she was just a few weeks away from getting married at that time. Here's someone who is recognizing the importance of following the Lord. And that's, of course, our goal for all of the listeners.
Discover how you can grow in Christ and reach the lost with the gospel. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
Well, friends, welcome to a very special on-location edition of the Mission Compass at the legendary Prairie Bible College. Well, I guess now it's just Prairie College. Took the Bible out of the name, but back in the school, at their Global Connections Conference, here with their international mission worker in residence, Mike Scott. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, it's really good to be here. Tell a few stories and get to know you a little bit. Appreciate it.
So better explain. That was a pretty big title. What exactly do you do on a day-to-day basis here at Prairie College?
Well, this is only about a quarter of my time, but during that time, I get to help out in the Intercultural Studies Department. I help the director in doing anything that has to do with intercultural studies. Sometimes it's planning events like this Global Connections Conference. Sometimes it's helping them plan the third year Globe Trek experience we have for our cross-cultural students. Sometimes it's just helping think through a particular problem that he's got and redesign the program or make it work for somebody. Right now, I'm trying to help find internships using my connections around the world for some students here that need internships. So it can be anything, but as long as it's related to students and cross-cultural ministry, I feel this is really an effective use of my time.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we had the college president, Mark Maxwell, on talking about that program that takes students all around the world. I think it's 14 months in a bunch of different locations. I know it's maybe changed a bit. Just explain about this program. This gets me really excited about people being trained on the ground to be missionaries.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's part of our four-year intercultural studies program, but what's neat in Prairie, you can use that Globe Trek year. It can be added in pretty well any program that the school does. So while it was originally designed for the intercultural studies folk, we've got people involved in nursing doing it, digital media. We have some of our theology people doing it different times. Any program can get involved in this particular program. But it's actually a year-long program. It's their third year usually. And they spend 6 months in an internship in one location doing language learning and actually getting a hands-on view of what it means to really integrate into a particular ministry. But then bookended on that six-month period is between 4 and 6 weeks of travel. And the idea is that they go pretty well right around the world. We give them 4 to 6 days visiting different missionaries and different organizations, different types, different world religions, different ways of thinking and interacting in this world to give them a broad perspective of what is out there. If they're thinking of ministry, of working cross-culturally, we want them to have a great understanding of what different mission organizations are out there, as well as have a foundation of relationship that when they graduate and Lord willing, they wind up working overseas, that they actually will know who to talk to and how to connect with people.
Now, I was speaking with a student here at our booth on the exhibit floor earlier, and she was naming all the countries she'd been to. I think she's already been to more countries than I've been to, and I've been doing missions for, 15, 20 years. Now, you said this is only 25% of your time. You are still with World Team. Share a little bit about your mission experience and kind of why then that brought you here to encourage others to get involved, where you're serving, what you were doing.
Yeah. Well, God actually allowed me to meet my wife here many, many years ago. And that was the origin, our original connection with Prairie. And when God took us into cross-cultural ministry, he took us to Cameroon as Bible translators. Both my wife and I were interested in linguistics. And we kind of said, Lord, is this really what you want us to do? And he affirmed that in so many ways. And after all the preparation, all the training and stuff that we did, most of it at University of North Dakota, God took us over to Cameroon working with a people group called the Oroko people in Western Cameroon, a people group that actually had been evangelized 50, 60 years ago, but the church had really become just a church in name only. Buildings were there, people were pastors, but for example, the pastor, put that in quotes, in the village that we lived in when we first moved in, was one of the town drunks. And so he lived his life 6 days of the week, but because he's one of the few people who could read English, he would bring his English Bible on a Sunday morning and give a little talk based on whatever he understood from whatever he saw from the Word that morning, and that was considered church. And so we felt our mission organization had already targeted this people group as desperately in need of scriptures. And when we visited there trying to figure out where God was taking us, we really felt just grabbed by this need. Let's give them a foundation of God's Word that can be built on so that the church really can regain its strength. And we were blessed to be there for 20 years translating the whole New Testament as well as the book of Genesis and some of the other smaller Old Testament books, giving them a foundation for, we trust, a whole revolution in new church life and new church growth among the Iroko people.
Now, you say that, you're hoping. Did you leave then before you got to see some of the fruit of your work?
Yes, actually we did. We saw a lot of fruit. And during those 20 years, God showed us a lot of fruit. But unfortunately, Cameroon right now is in the middle of almost a civil war between the English-speaking side and the French-speaking side. Our geographic location is right in the middle where a lot of those conflicts are happening. And so that started about a year and a half before we finished the New Testament. And so by God's grace, we were able to get things finished and printed, but we weren't even able to dedicate it actually in the area. We had to actually move the whole dedication ceremony to the capital city, which is 4 or 5 hours drive away in a whole different language group, and dedicate it there because nobody can get safely back into that area. So a lot of the work that we had anticipated being involved with, helping people actually integrate the scriptures into church life, hasn't happened. It has happened on a very small scale. There's been some very brave Iroko men who are involved in the translation project that have taken the Word of God back into the area, and they continue to use and promote it. But it hasn't had the wide scale effect that we've been praying for many years. And we trust that God will eventually bring peace back to Cameroon that will allow that really to happen. Because really, every time somebody travels in that area, they're putting their life on the line. They don't know if their taxi is going to get hijacked, whether they're going to get kidnapped for a ransom, and their family's going to have to pay something to get them out. And so it's really dangerous to move around.
Earlier on here at the conference, your friends were at Prairie College. You're probably hearing some noise in the background, the exhibit floor of the Global Connections Conference. And earlier this week, I did a little session on technology and mission and sharing not just our Galcom tools, but some other resources that missionaries could use. And your wife was in the session, and we were looking at the Global Recordings FiveFish app. Friends, if you're a regular listener of the program, we had Dan Griffith, the new Canadian director, in talking about the FiveFish app, something you can get on your cell phone. And in our session, I was sharing about it, and she looked it up and found the Iroko New Testament recording. So were you also involved in the audio recording of the New Testament?
I'd like to say I was, but I actually wasn't. Our last year in Cameroon, there was a desperate need for hostel parents or dorm parents for high schoolers in the capital city. And we were at the stage where there wasn't going to be recording happening immediately. We were actually at the point being ready to record it, but it wasn't going to happen right away. And so we went and filled this other need. Our teammates were the ones who were heavily involved in helping get the recordings done. We kind of tracked with it, but from a distance. But it was so exciting to actually have it. You know, we have it on our cell phones. You can listen to it. And there's other apps that really help in terms of literacy. As the scripture shows up on your cell phone, it's read. And there's a cursor that follows along that helps people learn how to read it, as well as be able to listen to it if they've got a cell phone. And so a lot of Iroko people do have cell phones. And that's also an effective way to get it into people's hands. So yeah, it's exciting. I remember hearing, I mean, from the time I was a kid, I've heard about gospel recordings and their work. And early on in the process of Iroko getting involved in the Iroko project, we said, I wonder if gospel recordings ever came here. And sure enough, we found some of those early recordings. There's a couple of messages. And even the people who gave those messages and some of the gospel recording stuff were people that we knew that have long since passed away, but we remember their names. Yeah, it's kind of special to see the continuity that has been there for all those years.
Yeah, it's great to see the whole body of Christ getting involved, each of us doing our part to get the gospel to people that desperately need to know the love of God. So speaking about doing our part, as you said, Cameroon, a lot of violence right now, maybe not the place to go, but what are some of the other needs at World Team right now for people to enter into vocational, full-time, cross-cultural, traditional mission work?
Yeah, the needs are always expanding. You always find new places where people can go. And actually, while our area of Cameroon is locked off, there's a whole another section of Cameroon where it is easily accessible. People can get to. And so we are actually mobilizing people to get in other parts of Cameroon. But one of the things that's really been close on my heart is the country just north of us, the country of Chad. And for many years, we've prayed, Lord, would you send World Team into Chad? Do you have a place for us there? And starting about 4 years ago, we found a church in the UK, of all places, that had been praying for a particular tribe in Chad for many, many years and said, God, would you send a missionary there? And we had a connection with that church. We found their people praying. And I said, well, Lord, would maybe World Team be the answer to that prayer? And so we did some looking into that, and God opened the door wide for us to go. And so we have an open door working in a Muslim people group in central Chad, and we're looking for people to go. We've had a young couple and a single gal who have committed to go. They were about a year and a half, 2 years before they could actually go because they're still finishing parts of their education. And we're looking for more people to join them to reach the Dajo people in central Chad.
Now you mentioned they're working on their education. So are you looking for people with specific education, training, experience to fill certain needs or to bridge certain gaps?
Well, one of them is finishing up a nursing degree, and medical care is always in short supply. And while she may not be working as a nurse full time, her medical background is very important to have in that particular context. The other gal is working on further Bible training and getting a broader base for biblical training before she comes. And the nurse's husband, I forget what he's working on, but he's working on something as well. Because God really can use any skill, but whatever we come to His kingdom with, we need to offer knowing that we are competent, and we're looking for competent people. So while an education in a particular thing isn't necessary, we want you to be spiritually sound. We want you to have a skill that you can come and bring and offer, and especially in a Muslim context, having something to offer, whether it's the ability to build something, whether it's the ability to know something about agriculture and managing farms, managing animals. A lot of them are cattle herders, and they deal with cattle. So we've had veterinarians come out and serve as missionaries in other parts of Cameroon, or even people who know how to work with little kids. The whole idea of little kids programs and things for little children to do is not something that's part of their culture. So it's a way to connect with people and say, hey, let's do something for your kids. So anything God can use.
So here we are in Three Hills, Alberta, Prairie College Global Connections Conference. Our program is airing out of Edmonton, 930 The Light, out of the High River Station of the South. We cover all of Alberta. So we're talking, we know about farmers, people that know how to care for animals. So we're talking right here, people that are needed to go over to Chad to fill a role, to use their education, use their experience, their competencies, giving it to God as a missionary. So if someone's sitting there going, you know what, I'm at a stage in life where I need to consider this, where do they go? Do they go on the web? How do they learn about World Team and what the next step in the process is?
We exist on the web at worldteam.org. Jump on the website and you'll see we have a U.S. and Canadian and Australian offices. Make sure you're on the Canadian site. You'll see all the options that are there. I mean, we're recruiting for the same places. We're the same organization, but there's specific Canadian stuff on the Canadian site. You'll see lots of different places that, where God has taken World Team right now. And that'll give you what's the next step. And that basically is reaching out to say, hey, I want somebody to talk to. Let's have a conversation and open up a conversation with one of our mobilizers, and we'll see where it goes. What drew you to consider missions in the first place? We'll explore that with you. And if need be, we'll coach you into taking the next steps wherever God might take you. You know, sometimes you think, you know, I have this competency I can offer God. And as I said, it's valuable to have those competencies. But I know when I went over to Cameroon, I thought, well, you know, God, you called me to be a Bible translator. I'll be a Bible translator. But before I got into linguistics, I was interested in computers. And as we were raising funds to go over as a Bible translator, God gave me a job in California in the computer industry. And so I worked for 4 to 5 years in the technology area. And I got to Cameroon and I found out lots of people use computers, but hardly anybody knew how to fix them. And all of a sudden I had a second job, and that was fixing people's computers and helping them figure out how to do stuff with technology that they had no idea how to use. And so I think God uses all sorts of means to get us into those kind of places. But after that, if we have an open hand and say, God, whatever you've given me, we offer back to you, He'll take the strangest thing in your history and your experience, and He's going to use that to be very useful in His kingdom.
So I was only half joking about farmers here in Alberta. We can use computer guys down in California too in the missions. Worldteam.org. If God is prompting you to just investigate, God, just giving you my life, as you said, He used that skill that you didn't expect, but then called you to something different. God can use you too, friends. We encourage you, visit worldteam.org. prayerfully consider how you can be used in the Great Commission today. Mike, I appreciate so much what you did here on campus this week, inviting all of us mission agencies out, engaging with the students here, and of course, your work with World Team. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Tim. Appreciate it.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. We really appreciate you joining us, and we would like to send you a special gift. Contact us to receive your free copy of Reset with Bonnie Sala, a 20-day devotional. Visit galcom.org and click Mission Compass, fill in your contact info, and we'll mail your gift out right away. If you enjoyed today's program, you can listen again at galcom.org or on your favorite streaming platform. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share. There are many ways to partner with us, and to find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.